And welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget, you can also go to our website, www.nagb.org.bs, and if you missed the show, or if you missed the beginning, or you're getting out of your car, or you want to listen to it again, you can click on the link there the day after it's aired, and you can listen to the show again. So we're now going to, we just heard from Patricia Lee Wood before the break. She is the founder of the Eleuthera All That Jazz Festival and the chairperson, general like do it all person. And now we're going to speak to Adrian D'Aguilar, who's one of the musicians who has have you been with the festival since the first time?
Yes, since the first one.
So tell us a little bit about your history with the festival. When Pat first approached you, were you like, you're crazy?
Or... Okay. Well, thanks for having me. And I have to start by saying I'm sad to hear you're not going to make it this year.
I know.
It means that my ride back on the Bohingi won't be as fun.
We always have fun on the boat. That's true. But the boat ride back is its own journey. Let's just say that.
The good thing, well, there are many good things about the Eleuthera All That Jazz Festival, but the one thing that stands out to me is that Patricia and her committee members have been successful in keeping it jazz.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of jazz festivals have everything but jazz, mm-hmm. unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, in the jazz world, that's sacrilegious, because
mm-hmm.
It should be about jazz,
mm-hmm.
and this committee has been successful in maintaining that.
Well, that's important, yeah.
Yeah, for me, it's been great. I've met musicians that I didn't know. We all sort of live together,
mm-hmm.
in the same space,
right?
So, this is what the audience don't see. We play sometimes into the wee hours of the night.
I'm sure.
You know, we have jokes, we have stories, we share contacts, and I mean, I can't even.
Well, it must be like very, very bonding.
It's because, very bonding.
Yeah.
The only problem is it's too short. It's just a week, you know, and then you leave with all these connections and all this inspiration.
Yeah.
You know, to Was it last year or year before last? It was a group from Canada.
Oh, Wally.
Yeah, and I've been in touch with those guys, and they're fantastic musicians. Yeah.
And I'd love to get them back again.
They were amazing. Yeah. They were amazing.
Well, I think that's important for the audience to hear, because I think a lot of the time, you know, we are a small country. We are a little bit paranoid about, you know, people coming in, and the benefit it brings Bahamians. When you bring professionals from any industry, because, you know, sometimes I'll get criticism, oh, why are you bringing that foreign curator down? Or why are you bringing that foreign artist here? And it's like, well, it's not just for them to benefit. It's actually for us to benefit. So,
absolutely.
So can you speak to how you feel Bahamian artists and performers have benefited from that?
Well, I mean, wherever I go, I'm a Bahamian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's silly to draw boundaries when it comes to art.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always say, I've been saying it for years now, for decades, you make a big mistake when you try to give music a visa and a passport,
mm-hmm.
because then you limit its power,
mm-hmm.
and its widespread good. And what Patricia has done, not just with the Eleuthera All That Jazz Festival, but Jacaranda, Jazz at Jacaranda.
Yes, but I actually didn't mention that,
beyond words.
Yeah.
She can't fathom the widespread good. I don't know if we will live to see the manifestations.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that when we were talking to Pat. But you live in a beautiful, beautiful historic home in downtown Nassau called Jacaranda, which bizarrely my grandfather lived in for a while. Such a small island, right? Wow. I think he owned it for a few years there and lived in it. And you are restoring it. And I mean, it's something I remember as a young child. I have very, very good memories of that house, but you're taking care of it and restoring restoring it to its beauty. But also, you've organized these fantastic events there, this Jazz at Jacaranda.
Well, we've been doing Jazz at Jacaranda now for 6 years.
Yeah. 6 years, that's right. It's become the house of jazz.
Yeah.
You know, it's got...
I have actually run into people who will look at me and say, oh, you're the jazz lady.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I'm the art lady, you're the jazz lady. Yeah, it's been amazing. It's been something really nice to do also because, again, downtown lost so much of its life, you know, after the banks started opening up their, you know, branches out west and people didn't come down anymore. And to have something to do downtown on a weekend, everyone says, oh, yeah, there's nothing to do downtown, which isn't true, by the way. But that there's, you know, a place to go and listen to music is, I think, a really important part of community building as well.
Well, we were just also very lucky that back in the 60s, well, my grandmother bought Jacaranda in 1949, and her daughter, Shirley Oakes Butler, bought it from her in the early 60s, and they designed the most incredible swimming pool. And across the swimming pool, they put this bridge, which we use as a stage.
Yeah.
So we were just very lucky that we had the most extraordinary venue to create Jazz at Jacaranda. And then we discovered that not only did we have the venue, we also had the musicians.
Yeah.
Right.
And
that was all it took.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
And that's true. I mean, I was impressed the first time I went to Jazz at Jacaranda, too, because there are so many great Bahamian musicians, right?
You can't measure where it goes and what it does. For instance, 2 years ago, I was in New York, crossing the street, just coming from the Smalls Jazz Club, and I heard someone shout, Adrian! In New York City, someone shouting Adrian. I'm not that popular. You know, it was the young bassist who was here for the Luther Jazz Festival. Dennis Tremblay, or what's his first name again?
Oh, yes, yes. Tremblay. Alex Tremblay.
Alex.
Yes.
And he had his bass on his back, and he was going to a jam session.
Oh, how
so next
wonderful.
Thing you know, we were at a jam session having a few drinks and some laughs and some fun.
Mm. Yeah. Well, last year I was in New York, and I was invited down to the Ear.
Ah, right.
By... Patrick O'Leary and Gabrielle Stravelli, who were our jazz lead band for last year.
That's
so
right.
So it's great. It's very...
Yeah.
And I know Bahamian musicians who have been to Eleuther All That Jazz have performed with other musicians around the world. I know that Myra went to L.A. and performed with Steve Oliver, who came out that year as well.
Wow.
So it is extraordinary to see the interchange...
Yes.
The international interchange.
Yes.
And also I think that you have audiences. I mean, I know you train a lot of young people, Adrian. You're like really you're really very passionate about passing on your knowledge of music to young people, and you have your group of kids basically that come to you and learn different musical instruments. And I know that there was a couple of very talented young boys. One was a drummer and one was a trumpeter. Mm-hmm. And how is it important for them to like have an audience that, I mean, the people that come to Eleuther All That Jazz are, you know, fairly serious jazz audience.
Right.
So is it important for them in terms of their development?
Oh, so important.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And what does it give to them to be able to perform in front of an audience and to meet those musicians?
Right. Well, it gives them the confidence and gives them the, you know, we all need support.
Mm-hmm.
We all need to know, to be reminded that what you're doing is appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
So it transcends the money that you make. Mm-hmm. It really has to do more about... being reminded that you're worth something, because to be a musician of this caliber, you need to be a little insane, because you're going against the grain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the grain in today's world is about you know, popularity, money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't really you don't embrace the disciplines of music that jazz brings.
Mm-hmm.
So to take on a lifestyle of studying and practicing jazz music, you have to be a little special. You have to be surrounded with people that are like-minded, and it helps when someone comes up to you and say, hey, well done, that was really good tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feed off of that.
Yeah.
It's important. Mm-hmm. Someone in the audience claps, I feel good. I feel like, wow, it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I suppose also to have that inspiration of, I think when you're a young creative in any field, because obviously I know the fine art field better, to see someone who is being successful at what you aspire to do can also be very important. So I think for some of the younger kids that you work with in the Jazz Cats, if they're then in Eleuther All That Jazz and they see these people that have traveled the world, and again, it might not be about riches, but it's about excellence, and it's about what they've been able to do with their lives. And I think that vision for a lot of young Bahamian kids to be like, wow, that's something I could do. Exactly. That's something that's actually attainable, because this person is here talking to me and they were once just like me. I think that's something really, really valuable
exactly.
for the
Can
Bahamian community.
Can I also bring something in here, that one of the things that we found incredibly valuable about having the Jazz Cats, and every concert we've done, every Eleutherol at Jazz, we have had young musicians participating. And one of the great things about them is that when they come in on the Saturday morning to the educational part, they are kids. But they are kids that are already at a level that blows the mind of all those other kids yes. sitting there going, oh, wow.
Yep. Yeah.
Look at what they can do. And he's my age.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's true.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that... And they love it. The yes. Jazz Cats, all the kids love showing off a bit to the kids.
Right.
But mm-hmm. they're not showing off in a bad way. They're showing what they have learned.
Just doing
and
what
the
they
discipline,
do.
It has taken them the hours and hours of practice.
Yeah.
They didn't learn to do that by watching television.
No, exactly. that's true. Well, actually, it's something I think is very impressive about a lot of musicians. It's like, as you spoke to Adrian, it's mm-hmm. it's the mm-hmm. discipline involved. I don't mm-hmm. think anybody realizes how much you have to practice and
right.
how much you have to really be committed to your craft to be a great musician. And I've seen it with other groups. Like, there's a group actually across the road from the National Art Gallery, and they practice in one of the houses there on Delancey Street, and they're called Rhythm and Youth, and it's basically a community group, and it teaches mm-hmm. kids how to play the drums and the mm-hmm. saw and like basically mm-hmm. Reagan's mm-hmm. great music.
Yep.
And those kids, my gosh, sometimes they perform at things at the National Art Gallery, and not only are they just really talented musicians,
they
but
look good.
They look good, but they're like this big. Some of them are like literally 2 feet high. Some of them are some
yes,
of them are, you know,
I've
6 feet high. But when they're done and they've had something to eat and whatever, they go around, they clean up their instruments, they
yes.
clean up what they've been eating. There was a little tiny one carrying a garbage can that was almost bigger than he was, making sure that the area they had been sitting in
was
proper, because that was part of the education
mm-hmm.
too, right? It wasn't just mm-hmm. about the music, it was about the individual, the
yes.
care and the attention
yeah.
to your surroundings, the care and attention to your instrument.
Right.
And I think it teaches a level of respect
Absolutely.
To kids and a discipline that actually extends, that even if your kid's not going to go to Juilliard or whatever and become, you know, to get your children involved in music is such a great way to teach a kind of discipline and a self-respect.
Precisely.
Well, there was a very interesting article that I read last week, which also talks about music for children and the development of the brain.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And music helps children's brains develop incredibly well.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, most schools are cutting music rather
yeah.
than
well,
adding
it. And art. Like, so any
yeah.
of the arts, music
but
and art.
You know, Amanda,
thing.
You were just saying the discipline that a musician has to have. I think any artist, look at the discipline a ballerina has to have.
Absolutely. Well, and a fine artist.
Any artist.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have to, and visual art
mm-hmm.
is a much more lonely profession.
Mm-hmm, yes.
They have to have that discipline to get up there and learn their craft,
mm-hmm.
hone their craft, learn to be better and better and better, and practice.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they have to get up there and paint the canvas.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
So it's true. There is a level of commitment into all the arts. And I think you're right. I mean, you've hit the nail on the head that cutting it out of school programming is a huge mistake, because there are so many studies now that show,
yes.
you know, trips to museums, music,
mm-hmm.
all these things are a really vital part in developing brain activity and being able to help kids in the other. And I think that's the thing a lot of parents don't understand is, like, why should I spend time wasting it on their learning recorder when they've really got to learn their math? Well, listen, reading music is kind of like maths.
That's right.
You know, right?
That's right.
And if
yes.
you can get your kid to learn how to read the music and count the beat and all those things,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of mathematics in there. And I think a lot of the time parents don't see those
right.
those
right.
segues. Anyway, we're going to go to a quick break, and then we're going to come back and hear more from Adrian D'Aguilar and Patricia Leawood on, we're talking about music in general, but specifically with regard to something they're both involved in, which is this really amazing festival called Eleuthera All That Jazz that takes place every year around the end of March. This year it starts on March 29th and goes through April 2nd. And they have a website, which is EleutheraAllThatJazz.com. And you can go there and look at the calendar. And I really, really encourage people. And Facebook page. They also have a Facebook page. So everyone's got a Facebook page these days. So I encourage you all to go there and find out more about it. And like I said, I didn't know I was a jazz fan till I went to Eleuthera All That Jazz. So don't think it's just for people that are going to sit talking about, like, the depths of music. You can just go and have a good time, and it's really, really a great way to engage in the islands and learn about music. So you are listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you've been listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to go for a short break, and we'll be right back.